Hey everybody, welcome back. Wow, what a great gift. We're here. It's day 36 and we just finished Hod, and we are now entering the week of Yesod. Everything that we've done has been a build-up to get here, obviously, through Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and now we're here, and it's fitting, because if you look at the Tree of Life, that has the Sephiras there, you can see that the Yesod is down there at the bottom, and it says that that this is the Sephira that all the other Sephiras stand on. That the Sephiras stand on, they grow on this, right? So this is the Yesod is there in the ground, and this is why Yesod is associated with the foundation, because it's the foundation. Not only that, because it's there on the ground, it has a certain essence, this gravitational pull, right? So this gravitational pull is kind of like the culmination expression, the birthing of a new entity, so to speak, which combines all of those previous sephiras and makes it accessible and practical, expressed. Whereas before, there was a lot of theory, there's a lot of stuff in the head, a lot of stuff in the heart, a lot of stuff that we're working on, and this is now the expression, the birthing of it. So it's a very powerful week. As I mentioned, it's gravitational, right? It's the earth. And that's a lot more than just meaning like gravitational in terms of a force with planets and with all these things, right? It really, what it also means is having a gravitational energy, having an energy that attracts, this attraction that comes out of it. And we talked about in previous weeks about Malchus, how Malchus has Chen, right? And Chen is important, but Chen is kind of like with the word, you know, in terms of what you hear someone saying. Someone can be a great orator. You can see that Chen has also been used negatively by kings, by leaders, cult leaders, all kinds of horrible things where the people use this negative aspect, right? Whereas Yesod, the charisma, the charm is different. It's attraction rather than promotion is what I want to say, as we say as well in the in recovery, right? So we can see that leads us to Yosef HaTzadik. He is the expression of the Yesod, the embodiment, the archetype of Yesod. And as we say, he's Yosef HaTzadik. Of all the people in the Torah, why is Yosef HaTzadik the Tzadik? And we're going to explore this topic a lot more, and we'll talk about what it is at Tzadik, and we'll talk about what it means and all these things as we move on throughout the week. But as we say, Tzadik Yesod Olam, the Tzadik is the foundation of the earth. So this gives us a lot of information as well, right? Foundation, Tzadik, Yesod, they're all one in that sense. And Yosef himself as well, obviously moved from the place where he wasn't in connection, just as we've seen in the previous weeks. How, what do you mean, how could Yaakov be truth when he was so far from truth? How could Moshe be Netzach when he was so far from getting himself out there? How could Aaron be Hod if he was so far from having to hide himself? Right. So this aspect of Yosef, he himself was very attractive. And when you talk about attractive, it's not just that he was good looking. It's not what it is. It's this sort of essence about the person. You can see that there's people that are born like this. They just have charisma. Before they even speak, before you hear anything out of their mouth, they're like, this guy's got it. There's something about her. There's something special about this person. And this is the aspect of Yesod, that that the person has a purpose, right? And this is another aspect of Yesod, is having a purpose. It's the sphere of purpose, that a person has a purpose. They feel the purpose. They are so confident, connected to their purpose. The person's connected to their purpose. The person has conviction. You can't get the person off of their place, right? They're very connected to the ground, obviously, right? So it's a different kind of connection that we were talking about before, where we're returning to the connection, where something was off and we're trying to get back, we're trying to return, right, of Netzach that's moving, right? This thing is very grounded. It's not moving. And it's also in the middle, so you can see, right, that Tiferes is in the middle, and now Yesod is in the middle. So just as we said, the more mature aspect of Gevurah is Hod, and the more mature aspect of Chesed is Netzach, so too the more mature aspect of Tiferet is Yesod. Why? Because Yesod is able to combine all the things, whereas Tiferet was able to hold the contradictions. Rabbi Benji, in his book, I mean, it's just amazing. You got to go and read Dance of the Omer and everything's giving over. I'm just giving it over here. Whereas Tiferet was a place where you're knowing what to do in each situation and you're kind of holding contradictions. With the Yesod, with the foundation, you've integrated those contradictions. You're comfortable with those contradictions. It's something where you're not having to mask it, or you're not having to compartmentalize, right? When you have a purpose, you are attracting like-minded people. And this is why when a person is immature, they haven't figured themselves out yet, they may jump from groups to groups, depending on what it is for them at that time. They're still looking to find themselves, to figure out their place in the world. And they're allowing sometimes the groups to dictate who they are, or their relationships to be who they are, as opposed to the opposite, where a person can be in multiple different places. Maybe the tzaddikim, we hear about the tzaddikim that they can be in the Beit Knesset, it can be a Beis Midrash learning, or they can be there with the simple person, somebody who maybe is very far from Torah and mitzvahs. And they're talking to that person in that person's own language, in that person's own words, in ways that that person can understand. And it's not that the tzaddik now is becoming a different person. He's still that person, but the way that he can talk to each person individually shows his own purpose, conviction, and that person's attracting him. No matter, he's like, oh, well, I wouldn't usually talk to a religious person like this. But there's something about this guy that he's like, I like this guy, I don't know why. And they become very close, right? And so they have relationships, but their relationships are based on their convictions and their purpose, not the other way around. It's not that their purpose is based on their relationships, right? So it's a unifying. And another big thing, obviously, Yesod, it corresponds to the reproductive organs. If you look once again on the Tree of Life, you can see, right, when there's a human there, we're talking about the arms being Gevur and Chesed, and we're talking about the legs being Hod and Netzach. We're talking about Tiferet being the heart, solar plexus. Now we see that Yesod is right there in the reproductive organs, and how intertwined Yesod is with your reproductive organs. And this week's bracha is interesting. It's Hashiva Shofteinu. It says, return to us our judges as they were before, and our counselors as they were in the beginning. Remove from us sorrow and sighing, and reign over us quickly, you alone, O Eternal One, with kindness and compassion, and make us righteous with righteousness and justice. And the bracha says, Melech Ohev Tzedakah Umishpot, the king who loves Tzedakah Umishpot, that loves Tzedakah Umishpot, Tzedakah corresponding to giving, corresponding to chesed, corresponding to charity, umishpot, corresponding to judgment, corresponding to barrier, strictness. And they're both necessary. Why it says Ohev Tzedakah Umishpot? How is it that love is here? I thought love was up above with Tiferes on the heart. And the teaching here, right, Reb Benji is saying that the love of the heart is immature. The love of the heart can be self-serving, where, you convince yourself, this is what I want, this is what I need right now, because it may be fulfilling a need for right now. But ultimately, you haven't gotten to the purpose yet. You don't know what you're fulfilling. You don't know why you're looking to fulfill this thing and what the whole actually is. As we say, we're looking to fill a God-sized hole. Whereas love is not just what you feel like doing. Love is not just what seems good to me or what's going to help me right now. Love has a long-standing consequences, and they have to be met with conviction, knowing who you are and what you need and what you can give, the purpose, grounded, foundational. And in this way, we can create, we can combine with another person, and we can give birth. We can come together and give something new that is a combination of all the things that we've been doing already and giving it out. If we did it properly, it's going to be a beautiful thing. If we didn't do it properly, it's going to leave us empty, which is why when people are using the reproductive organs with their heart, they can be left empty. When they're using their reproductive organs as they are supposed to be, with purpose, with conviction, and that purpose is not just for reproduction, right? Enjoyment, giving, for shalom bayis, then it comes from a different place. Then it comes from a different place because we did it in the right way. Another aspect of, as we were talking about, was as previously we were talking about last week a lot about relationships and coming back. As I mentioned, this is the expression of those relationships being together. Now we're in healthy relationships. Last week we were talking about making amends with other people, making amends, right? Coming back to Hashem, as we were talking about doing his bodedus. Coming back to Hashem. Now here, we're in a different place, right? Where the tzaddik, you can see that the tzaddik people, as I mentioned, people are grabbing him, the tzaddik. Why is that? Because the tzaddik has good judgment. The tzaddik is the tzaddik yesod olam. And that brings us to chesed sheb yesod, to today's teaching. I guess a direct translation would be kindness in our foundations, right? Kindness in our healed relationships. Giving in our healed relationships. So what are we giving here? Right, we can see that the tzaddik, Yosef at tzaddik, what makes a tzaddik in the first place? Right, there's many different definitions. One definition is a person who guards their bris, because Yosef at tzaddik guarded his bris, he guarded his sexual organs for a purpose, to have purpose with his wife, not willy-nilliness. Another aspect of a tzaddik is somebody who has made themselves completely bitul to Hashem. They've kind of, their will ceases to exist, becomes less important to them. They have a purpose in life, and it's not just to fulfill what they want. It's a real freedom, because people think, well, I want to be free, but they're slaves to their desires, to what they want to do. Why should I have a wife when I could have free love? Why should I keep Shabbos? I don't want to be bogged down, and I can't drive, and I can't turn on the phone, and all these rules make me a slave. I'm not free. And why would I want to have a wife, want to have a significant other, when I can be free with other people? It just bogs you down. And the opposite is actually true. Because when you don't have barriers, proper barriers, we see that people are living this life and it never ends. Are they picking up their phone because they have a purpose? Are they going through the phone and reading their phone and they can't put it down for one day on Shabbat because they have a purpose? There's a reason for it, or because they're addicted to the dopamine that gets shot off when you're scrolling? Right? Are you wanting to practice free love with people because you have a purpose, or because you actually feel empty inside and it makes you feel better about yourself? You don't have a purpose, you don't have a commitment, you don't have convictions. And so you want to go wherever it takes you, whatever's going to be, whoever's going to give you love. It's the immature love. What makes a tzaddik is somebody who sees the good in everybody. Who sees the good in everybody. Rav Benji is saying that, Shlomo was saying, that Yosef, his biggest test wasn't Potiphar. That wasn't his biggest test. His biggest test was the whole ordeal with his brothers, that his brothers sold him into slavery. And that he was away for all that time, and he had this whole life that happened. And he had to come to terms with it. So when they came around, right, Rabbi Shlomo says that if he hadn't have passed that test with Potiphar, if he hadn't had that conviction, if he hadn't made that purpose and said, you know what, I'm sticking to my guns no matter what happens, he wouldn't have had the strength to forgive them later on when they came around. So what happened over here is he had to come to terms with what they did and had to forgive them. and he had to forgive himself. And this is the essence of Chesed Sheb Yesod. We talked about making amends. We talked about asking people for forgiveness. We talked about forgiving others even. But have we forgiven ourselves and have we forgiven Hashem? What's so powerful about judging someone with kindness and seeing the good in them? Why is that an aspect of the tzaddik? Seeing the good in them. Because first and foremost, the way that we judge others is the way that we're judged. All right, Rabbi Nachman talks about this. This is actually the secret of Uman Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of judgment. The day of judgment, when we're judged, why is it so important to be in Uman? Because Rabbi Nachman, his main thing was to see the good in others and to judge people on the side of merit. And when you're there, there's an overwhelming love and a different kind of love, not a self-serving love, where you really see the other person in the most highest form that they are in the neshama. And it just so happens that we're here on earth. And you see people with tattoos, you see people chassidim, you see people from all different types of life around Am Yisrael. Everybody. From the rich to the poor, religious, non-religious, and all across the spectrums, and beyond those spectrums. And every person you see, wow, you're here, Hashem loves you so much, and you give them such a bracha, and you're seeing so much good in them. You see people dancing in the streets who don't know each other, and you can spend so much time just giving someone a bracha. And even in a place like Yerushalayim, when you're davening with people, or in a place in Eretz Yisrael, or a place in Muncie, or a place in LA, where all the people that you're davening with are on that level on Rosh Hashanah, what happens when you go outside? It's not the environment. It's not around in the environment. And so to Uman, it's the opposite. When you're leaving, everywhere you are, you're davening, you're seeing people in the streets, and that whole city is on this level. It's not just in one place, you're davening, and then you forget about it. The whole 25 hours is just like that. Should say the whole 50 hours, 24, 40, 49 hours. Like 49 days. An hour a day, right? So the whole time you're on a high level, you're seeing only good in each other, and in this way you yourself are judged positively. This is the aspect of Rosh Hashanah, and this is the aspect of the tzaddik. And this is why we get ourselves in trouble. Why is this even a thing? Because we're judged the way that we judge others. So when we judge others favorably, we're judged favorably because they're doing what we've done, and Hashem is showing it to us. Like it said about David HaMelech, right, and they asked him, what should be done about this person who killed somebody and then took his wife? He says, well, that person should be killed. And he says, oh, funny you say that. We're talking about you. So whenever we judge someone else, we're actually writing our name on the dotted line. We're signing our own judgment. So we can't get upset later on when something happens to us. Someone else hurts us or something happens. This is exactly Chesed Sheb Yesod in the sense that the world is our mirror. The world is a mirror. When we are in a relationship and we get mad at our wives, it's like being mad at the mirror. It's like you have a stain on your shirt and you're trying to fix the mirror. You're trying to wipe down the mirror. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's the same thing with us. So last week we were talking about making amends, coming back, getting close again when we're far, running and returning. And here we are, we're here, we're connected. How are we connected? Because we accept people for who they are, we judge them favorably, we love them, and we see the good in them already. But what's the next step? Why did we get there in the first place? How did we get to a place where we came to be mad at somebody for what they did to us, or we did something bad to somebody else? How did we get there in the first place? That's what we need to fix. We need to fix the foundation. Why was it? Because we saw something in the other person that we don't like about ourselves. We were mad at ourselves, actually. So we did something to lash out at the person. We can't accept ourselves for who we are. We get mad at ourselves. It shatters our worldview. So we see sometimes an equal and opposite reaction. Somebody else who looks very different from me, doing something very different, but it's actually me. You can see this in the hypocrisy of politics. How for one political stance, they're very staunch on one thing, and on the other side, they're not doing the exact same thing, but they're doing the equal and opposite reaction, and they also are expressing their same way, where the other person's a kook, they're an extremist, and then the other side saying that person's a kook, they're an extremist. And actually, the problem is that the person who's calling the other person the extremist is actually an extremist, They just don't like that form of extremism that they're putting out there. So they get mad. But they themselves are not happy with who they are in this aspect. And so they lash out. You see in protests and everything going on that people are upset with each other. Politically, nationally. Everybody's doing the same things in different ways. So we're mad at ourselves. And what else? We're mad at God. How could this have happened to me? How could you have done that to me? But instead of getting mad at Hashem, people do, obviously. And that's a lot of atheists are actually, they're not actually atheists. They believe in God, but they're just mad at God. You talk to a lot of atheists out there, and a lot of them have lived tough lives, and they used to think, or and they're like, no, it can't be. Can't be that there's a God. Or if he is, he's not somebody I want to have a relationship with. Aha, ding, 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 that's what it is. You're mad at God. God forbid a person goes through, they lose people in their life, they have a tough life, things happen. And that's it for them. So this is the issue that brings stuff up. It's being mad at God and being mad at ourselves, which is why Chesed Sheb Yesod comes today to teach us that we have to be good to ourselves. We have to accept ourselves, right? We can't put up with our stuff. It's not that it's not a Chesed Sheb Chesed kind of energy where you're just happy with yourself, whatever you're doing. No, we have conviction. If you've been doing something that's wrong, you commit to not do it. This is part of asking for forgiveness. I confess this is what I've done. I feel bad about what I've done. Step two. Step three is committing not to do it again. You have to know what you've done wrong and accept it that you've done wrong. As I've said before in these classes, I got good news and I got bad news. I got bad news and I got good news. The bad news is I'm the problem. That's the bad news. Man, it sucks when you find out I'm the problem. I thought it was the other person. I thought I was completely justified to be mad at that person. The good news is I'm the problem. I can fix it. There's something here that can be done. I'm the one who's been running amok. I'm the one who's been going crazy. I'm the one. People who are addicts, before they get to rock bottom, they are running roughshod on everybody in their life, every relationship in their life. This is what usually brings them to recovery, is their relationships, the destruction of their relationships. They realize they're alone, they're with nobody because of their actions, because they haven't been able to accept themselves and accept that they've been doing wrong. So forgiving, when we forgive other people, it's not that we let them in our lives and we let them run rampant on us. And also Rabbi Nachman says that when a person does something to you, you're not supposed to return the favor, you're not supposed to seek revenge, you're not even supposed to respond, that this is a tikkun. The tikkun for when we needed forgiveness, we needed forgiveness for something, so now something happens to us, and if we don't respond back in kind, we're forgiven. Wow, good job, kol hakavod, you got an A, you're done, you're washed, go down, get out of here. Get a slap on the butt, and move on with our life. But if we get mad, they say, oh, well, I mean, that was kind of an easy one, and he got mad, so, you know, maybe we got to up the ante, make him hear a little bit more. He's not listening so hard. So it doesn't mean that we just, forgiving just means we let people walk all over us either, though. Forgiving doesn't mean that when we turn the other cheek, doesn't mean we stick our butt out to let keep getting hit. It's not the point. It's not just that we're just going to let them run wild in our life. That's not what it means to have commitment. That's why it's attractive. What's attractive about people is they're committed, and they don't take nothing from anybody. People like that. A person who's taking everything from everybody, it's not attractive. It's not something that's making people gravitate to that person. A person has convictions, for better and worse, and they're not taking things from people. So this brings us finally right to forgiving ourselves. To forgiving ourselves, to loving ourselves, to knowing that we're working on things, and to work on things, to keep going to Hibodadut, and to keep talking to ourselves and forgiving Hashem, because some of us are so mad at Hashem, a person can be so mad at Hashem, and a person can be davening all day and learning and studying, and a person is really resentful towards Hashem. And this is what it is. When we're upset at other people, have resentment towards them, and when we're resentful with ourselves, it's because we're still doing things we don't like. We're still doing things we don't like. When we're resentful with Hashem, it's because we still have things we don't like. We're blaming Hashem, not thinking that Hashem knows what he's doing. Thinking I know better, and why did this thing happen to me? If that never would have happened to me, my life would be so much better. Really? Thinking we're God, that's what gets us in trouble. right? So Hashem should bless us to work on ourselves, to not do the things that are detrimental, the things that are detrimental to us, the things that hurt us, things that we're guilty of and we feel guilty about, but we push down. And so what happens is we get mad at other people, or we act out on other people, or people do that thing to us and we judge them negatively. And then we get mad at God and we get mad at ourselves, but instead of forgiving the person, realizing that the reason why this happened to me is because of me, we push it down and we get more mad and we invite more and more to come. So chesed should be a sod, we should be zoiche to release it all, to forgive ourselves, to move forward and to trust ourselves and to be better than we were yesterday and forgive Hashem, to know that everything we're doing is Hashem is doing for the best. And by doing this, we're going to fulfill our purpose, be connected to our purpose. And by us doing it, another person be inspired and do the exact same thing. And in this way, all of us will be living the best lives, judging ourselves favorably, judging others favorably, judging Hashem favorably. We all judge each other favorably. All judgments will be annulled, and we'll live in a life of pure bliss, of all amazingness, with everybody who's ever been hurt to be healed, hostages released speedily, having the third temple rebuilt, all of Am Yisrael and all the world living in unity with a purpose as one. L'chaim.